If you've been around long enough to remember going through the book of James, which is just a little bit over a year ago, you might remember that toward the end of the James messages, I got to where I was just doing a verse or two. And part of it was because I hated to see James come to an end. I loved the book of James. Still do. But also because there was just so much and so few verses that I just didn't feel like I could go through it all in one evening. Well, I had the same dilemma all this week because we're in 2 Peter chapter 3 toward the end. There are actually 11 verses left. And I could see doing it all at once, but there's so much. And so I looked at these first two and I couldn't find a really good place to divide other than at the end of these first two verses that I want to go through tonight. So I had a choice of two verses or 11, and we're going to go with two, all right? 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. You won't have to stand for long. It'll be harder to get up and get back down than it will to stand, but if you would. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord, for just how I've seen you move already tonight here in this place. I thank you for the music. I thank you for the testimony. I thank you for answered prayers. And I thank you, Lord, for these two verses, which just speak so many different volumes to us. And I pray as we go through this that it will be rightly divided and that truly we will be closer to you as a result of spending time in your word. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In previous passages, Peter has addressed those people who had mocked the promise of Jesus coming, returning, those who had scoffed at the very idea of a Savior. And these two verses say more about the why of what many may see as a delayed promise. We might be able to think about delayed promises. My mom used to do this a lot. We would ask her for something, and her two standard answers to anything we ask her for were, "We'll see," or "pretty soon." And we kids, it didn't take us long. We were pretty bright, you know, to figure out that both of those answers are just a delayed no. It's no, we're not going to see, and no, it won't be pretty soon, but that's how she put us off, you know. And then also there were the promises of, you know, things like Christmas gifts or birthday cakes and things like that, and we used to just beg for a long time prior to Christmas to be allowed to open one present. And Mom was a softie in some ways, and pretty harsh in others, but she was a softie there, and generally she would relent and let us open one present before Christmas. And I got kind of the same thing going on because Isaac's birthday is next Sunday, and he received a package in the mail the other day that was obviously clearly a birthday present for him, and I kind of hid it from him for a little bit, and then I brought it out to show it to him, and I just knew he would want to open it. And he says, "No, I don't want to open it till my birthday." And that's the way I felt after I'd been allowed to open a gift for Christmas, you know. And then when Christmas got here and I opened the ones that were left, I thought, man, I wish I'd have waited. I wish I'd have held back to really enjoy the whole thing. And the reason I tell you that is because, you know, God's timing. You know, we might say, "God, let me open up a present just a little early. Let me see what you got for me now instead of waiting." But God's timing is perfect. The time for the gift of the second coming of Christ will be perfect. Once again, verse 8, Peter says, to the people who have been persecuted and dispersed. He says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. And I've heard this verse used before by people who believe, and I used to believe this too, by the way, that when it says God created the universe in 6 days, well, he said a day is 1,000 years, you know, so that doesn't mean 24 hours, does it? His days were longer than our days. Well, I said I used to believe that, but I don't anymore. I don't accept that. I believe that what the Bible says, God created the heavens and earth in 6 days, means 6 days. And I've told you this before. Until God shows me otherwise, I will go to my grave believing that. If God wanted to create everything in a nanosecond, he could have. But he chose 6 days. And I want you to think about all the things that have been established by that. 6 days and a seventh day of rest. I mean, our calendar has been based on that ever since that time. You know, there's nothing about 7 days that makes a week. It was something, it wasn't arbitrary. God created that. And I don't know, it was 6 literal days that he created the heavens and the earth. And Peter starts with this verse, first of all, with a reminder to the people to whom he's writing. He says, but beloved, he wants them to know that he loves them. Peter loves them. And the love that he has for his people, just like the love that I have for you, is just a tiny little sampling of the love that God has for us. And then he tells them that God doesn't operate on the same time schedule that we do. You know how it is, I think. We arise at a certain time. If I ever decide to sleep in, my body just doesn't agree. You know, it's time to get up, time to get up. And sometimes I can stay in a little bit later, but there's a time to get up. There's a time to go to bed. I know that there are people in this room besides me who do this. You eat lunch not because you're hungry, but because it's noon, right? And that's the way we are. We are time-oriented, and I know that I'm worse than most. But when we get to heaven, nobody's going to be checking their phones to see what time it is. Nobody's going to wonder, when's this going to be over? Nobody's going to think about how long will it be till the next big thing. There will be no time in heaven. And of all the wonderful things that I look forward to in heaven, being relieved of this problem that I have with time is one of them. I'm looking forward to that. Not being concerned about, you know, it's 210 days or whatever till spring. I don't really know, you know, that kind of stuff. But that's the kind of thing that I do. I mark time. I always have. All my life, I've heard this too. Time goes quicker the older you get. I now know that it's true. I can give testimony to the fact that it's true. But you remember back when you were in school, and that 9-month period from August till May seemed like an eternity? Seemed like 3 eternities, right? There's a contemporary Christian song right now that has this line in it. This year feels like 4 seasons of winter. Have you heard that? You know, can you imagine 4 seasons of winter? It would just be, oh, somebody smack her for me, please. But here's the deal, Hannah. Even winter doesn't seem to last as long as it used to me, because I'm older. And I've hesitated to even tell you this because you already know how weird I am, but I think about whenever I was, let's say, 8 years old, you know, 2 years was a fourth of my life. That's a big fraction of my life. And now that I'm this old, 2 years is a blink of the eye. And I think that's why time goes quicker to us, because as we get older, each year is less of a fraction of our lives, if that makes any sense to you at all. That's just the kind of thing that I think about. If having 65 years behind me makes me think that the years really fly by, imagine what having eternity both behind you and in front of you would feel like. To God, 1,000 years is like a day. So Jesus answered the disciples' question in Acts 1, they ask him, Lord, will you at this time, like right now, restore your kingdom to Israel? And his answer was, it's not for you to know times or seasons. He didn't give us a definite date. Imagine if he had. Let's just say that Jesus said back there in Acts chapter 1, well, on September 21st, 2019, I'm going to restore the kingdom. How do you think the world would have acted until September 20th of 2019? Do you think we would have acted differently? Do you think that when the 20th got here, we might finally think, wow, I got to get my act together because tomorrow's the day? They would act like they had all the time in the world until that moment. And there would have been no urgency to share the gospel. No reason to behave as God commanded us to until the day before. So God left it undefined, and you and I should live every day as if it were our last. Verse 9, the first part. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness. Now, slack to me means, loose or it's not tight, it's not taut, that kind of thing. But it just means here that God's promises are still just as valid, just as important, just as guaranteed, even though they haven't come to pass yet. And we all know people who, their word is as good as gold. You can absolutely bank on it if they tell you they're going to do something. And truly, all of us should be that way, but it's not always easy. And then there are other people who can promise you 6 ways to Sunday that they're going to do something, and you know in your heart it ain't going to happen. I have this guy that I see in the nursing home occasionally, and every time I see him, I say, I'm going to come back sometime when I can stay longer and we can visit. And then I tell him, I'll come out sometime and take you to lunch. And I've got a date with him on Tuesday, by the way, which is probably now going to get messed up because we have a funeral. But anyway, it just seems like every time I get ready to fulfill my promise, I have somewhere else to be, something else that I've got to do, and so he's still waiting. My promises can be slack. Famous general once told his men that he had to leave behind. He said, I shall return. And he did return, although unfortunately many of the men who heard his promise didn't live long enough to see him striding up the beach, But he did come back. God promised, Jesus promised, that he would return. And we may or may not be alive to see him in the clouds, but his return is for us as well as all those who will actually be alive to see it. He will return. And then the second part. But his long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it seems like I say this almost every time I get up here, but God knows all things. He knows all things past, present, and future. He knows the name of the last person who will decide to accept Christ as his Savior. He knows that already. And he knows all of those who will choose to follow Christ between now and that time. He also knows all of those who will stubbornly reject his offer of salvation. And so you might wonder, if he knows already, why didn't he just get them sorted out now and come back and get it over with? Because he's long-suffering toward us. And I want you to think about what that means. He puts up with me when I fall. And it's so important to recognize this. He suffers because of my falling. He suffers because of our failures as Christians. I mentioned earlier in the spring that I had marked my 50th year of salvation. And I want you to think about it like this. If Jesus had come back the day before I made the decision to accept Christ as my Savior, instead of telling you about my 50th year of salvation, I would be spending my 50th year in hell. That's how significant it is that he waited until at least the day after I came to know him as Savior. He's long-suffering towards us. He puts up with us. And it hurts him to see us like that. But here's another reason he delays. He is not willing that any should perish. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He is not willing that any should perish. So why will some of them perish? Because they have rejected him. He's still got the offer open, but they've rejected him. And it's a pretty fair assumption that every single day, somewhere on this planet, somewhere, someone accepts Jesus as their Savior. So each day that he delays adds another name, at least, to the roll that will be called up yonder. Of course, that also means that somebody who's been putting off that decision is playing with fire, and that's literal fire in this case. Nobody knows the day or the hour. Deciding to wait until next Sunday means taking the risk that Jesus' return will come before you get that chance. And every single Sunday when I stand up here and offer an invitation, I really believe in my heart and I pray in my heart that this is going to be the day that so-and-so comes. And when they don't, and when they walk out the door and shake hands and smile and act like everything's okay, it's not okay. It just isn't okay. God's desire is that all should come to repentance. But the reality is just simply this: all of them won't. Not all people will come to repentance. When I was teaching, I would have loved it if every student loved history like I did, and every student studied, and every student cared, and every student got A's. I would have loved that. That would have been my desire. Didn't happen. Because I desired it doesn't mean that it's going to happen. Because God desires that none should perish, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. He does desire that all men, women, and children would come to know him. But in Genesis, he desired that Adam and Eve would have obeyed and would have stayed there in the garden with him. He desired that Cain and Abel would have got along and that they would have been obedient and productive. And he desires that every person who's ever been born would come to repentance. But it doesn't happen. And so he delays. And so 1,000 years is like a day to him. In that regard, it's just been 2 days since Jesus died on the cross, since Jesus was resurrected, since Jesus ascended into heaven. And he delays because he loves us. And he desires that none should perish. Preached through the book of Habakkuk, and I never did learn how to pronounce it. I just kind of say it and you can guess if it's right or not, but a long time ago I did that, and chapter 2, verse 3 in that book. I looked it up, and I had the pronunciation guide, but it's been a long time. I just can't remember how I said it. But anyway, this is what it says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now, to us, it seems like maybe some of these promises are tarrying. They haven't gotten here yet. Hasn't happened yet. But he's telling us that when it happens, we'll say, ah, the timing is perfect. God's vision will come to pass. It will speak the truth. It is not a lie. And even when it seems to us that it's tarrying, it will not tarry. All in God's timing. Praise God for that He's in charge of time, and I am not. Father God, I just want to thank you so much for your promise of sending Jesus, that He will return, Lord. And I do look forward to that day. But I know, oh Lord, I know that there are people that were here this morning, perhaps people that are here this evening who have never accepted you as Lord and Savior. And they think because you have tarried, because you haven't come back yet, I've got plenty of time. Lord, again, I've got to juggle my schedule this week for the possibility of going to 3 or 4 different funerals. And none of them necessarily thought, today's the day. We don't know. I thank you, Lord, for your long-suffering patience toward us. But I also pray, Lord, that we see that there is an urgency. We don't know when you'll come back. We don't know when our last day will be. Help us, God, to be ready, and help us to make sure that the people that are all around us, people we love, people we barely know, people that maybe we don't even like, but Lord, that we make sure as many of those people as we possibly can are also ready to meet you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.